خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. Tonight we weren't really scheduled for a talk on Tuesday night. It was supposed to be the Kitab al-Janaiz by Abdul Rahman. However, since he wasn't doing that and we had some free time, we said that we might like to present this topic, inshallah ta'ala. And that is that the Sirat al-Mustaqim is wide, and that the Sirat al-Mustaqim is not a tight rope. And what I'm trying to mean by that statement is that the Muslims are going to be on various levels of Iman, meaning various levels of worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some are going to be good in their worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and some are going to be deficient. May Allah forgive us and help us. But all will be, inshallah, on that Sirat al-Mustaqim, if he's upon that which is correct in his belief and in his worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even if it's minimal. So I wanted to make this point, as we need a reminder from time and time again, as we're trying, inshallah ta'ala, to tread this correct manhaj, the manhaj of adherence to the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and the way of our Salaf al-Saleh, our righteous predecessors. At times we, and I don't know how, we seem to think that whoever isn't like a serious student of knowledge and worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on a higher level, as if that person isn't really Muslim, or if that person is not really, inshallah, upright in his deen. And this is, inshallah, what we wanted to explain tonight, that the Sirat al-Mustaqim is wide, and that the people are going to be varied in the aspects of their Iman, meaning their worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and everybody is going to be Muslim, and everyone will be okay, inshallah, tabarak wa ta'ala. And we want to explain this point in light of a hadith of Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah. As he says, Kitab al-Iman, the book of Iman, Babu ad-Dinu Yusrun, wa qawl nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ahabbu ad-Dini ila Allahi al-Hanafiyyatu samha. As Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, he says, chapter, the deen is easy. And the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the best deen or the most beloved deen to Allah is the al-hanafiyyatu samha, or the deen that stays away from falsehood and keeps to the truth, the deen that is easy or based on being simple. And then Imam al-Bukhari rahimullah, he says, حَدَّثَنَا عَبْدُ السَّلَامِ ابْنِ مُطَاهِرِ قال حدثنا عمر بن علي عن معد عن معن بن محمد الغفاري عن سعيد بن أبي سعيد المقبوري عن أبي هريرة عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إن الدين يسر ولن يشاد الدين أحد إلا غلبا فسددوا وقاربوا وأبشروا واستعينوا بالغدوة والروحة وشيء من الدلجة. Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, he says it's been narrated to us by Abdul Salam ibn Mutahir, who said that it was been narrated to us by Umar ibn Ali, on the authority of Ma'an ibn Muhammad al-Ghifari, on the authority of Sa'id ibn Abi Sa'id al-Maqburi, on the authority of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, on the authority of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he said, indeed the deen is easy, and no one will overdo it except that it will overcome him. So try to be correct, and if you're not all the way correct, do your best to be correct, and have glad tidings, and seek assistance in the early part of the day, and then the afternoon part, or around Dhuhr time, midday, and some something of the night. And this chapter of Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, we learn a point that we've mentioned many times before, and we want to emphasize it this evening, and that is that the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is easy. And Allah Himself, He says in the Quran, Surah Al-Baqarah, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرَ. To the end of that ayah where Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, indeed, Allah only wants ease for you, and He doesn't want any difficulty for you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself, He says that He wants it to be easy for us, and that He doesn't want any difficulty for us. And He emphasizes this point in a few ayah in the Quran, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, وَمَا جَعَلَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ مِنْ حَرَجٍ مِلَّةَ أَبِيكُمْ إِبْرَاهِيمُ. To the end of that ayah, that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, He says, and Allah has not made any difficulty for you in the deen, the religion of your father Ibrahim, or hold fast the religion of your father Ibrahim. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, طَاهَا مَا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْقُرْآنَ لِتَشْقَى. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, He says, طَاهَا, I have not revealed the Qur'an to you to be a difficulty. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't reveal this Qur'an that we might find difficulty in belief or in worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah tabarak wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Ma'idah, I'm trying to find this ayah, مَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيَجْعَلَ عَلَيْكُمْ مَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيَجْعَلَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْ حَرَجٍ وَلَكِنْ يُرِيدُ لِيُطَاهِرَكُمْ وَلِيُتِمَّ نِعْمَتَهُ عَلَيْكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says at the end of this ayah, and Allah doesn't want to make any difficulty for you, but He wants to purify you and to complete His favor to you so that perchance you may be thankful. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He shows us in all of these texts one of the principles or basis of this deen, that this deen is easy, walhamdulillah rabbil alameen. And Imam al-Bukhari rahimullah, He goes on to say, also chapter the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the most beloved deen to Allah is the al-hanafiyyatu samha. And Imam al-Bukhari rahimullah, sometimes he says chapter the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam such and such. And the ulama, like Imam al-Hafiz ibn Hajar, he says that Imam al-Bukhari rahimullah, he does this because that hadith is not on the level of authenticity of the hadith of his Sahih al-Bukhari. And this is why they don't call the chapter titles, though they're hadith, from Sahih al-Bukhari. Like you don't say the hadith, indeed the most beloved deen to Allah is al-Hanafiyyatu samha, even though Imam al-Bukhari has chapter, the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, such and such, because this isn't considered to be from the Sahih, meaning not on the conditions that Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, had made for himself for his Sahih al-Bukhari, or his authentic collection. However, this hadith was collected by Imam Ahmad and others, rather Imam al-Bukhari himself in the book that's newly translated. I want to take advantage of that. His book, Adab al-Mufrad, and Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, he brings the actual chain of this hadith, and this hadith has been authentically reported on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And this is reiterating the same point that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had mentioned in the Quran, that this deen is easy. Rather, this is the most beloved deen, meaning this is the most beloved Iman or Islam or the worship of Allah, that which is most beloved to Allah is the easiest, or that which is correct from Islam or the truth, leaning away from falsehood, which is the meaning of al-Hanafiyya, and al-Samha meaning that which is based on easiness, and that this is what is more beloved to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, and not like that which people might think, that if the more difficult it is, the more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala it is. Rather, what is easy is that which is most beloved to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. As some of the mushrikeen, if we reflect on the tafsir of that ayah in Surah Al-Taha, where Allah said, Taha, and I have not revealed the Quran to you to be a difficulty for you. the mushrikeen, they were looking at the worship of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they thought that it was difficult to be a Muslim. Man, the Muslims don't do this, the Muslims don't do that, the Muslims do this, they do that, as if it was some difficulty. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this verse to show that there's no difficulty in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rather, what is beloved to Allah is what is easy. And this deen of al-Islam, it's the true religion of Tawheed, and it's the easy religion. Walhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. And also there's other hadith authentically reported on the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, where he emphasizes the point that he made in this hadith, as he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, خَيْرُ دِينِكُمْ أَيْسَرُهُ, that the easiest of your deen is that which, the best of your deen is that which is most easiest. Meaning, the practice of Islam that is more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and greatest in His reward is that which is most easiest. Meaning that which you can handle and you do on a regular basis. This is what is the best part of this deen, or that which is most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, in another narration which is similar to the narration of the hadith that we'll mention, Inna deen Allahi yusrun. Indeed, the religion of Allah, or the deen of Allah, is easy. And Allah's Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, in another narration, he says, Alaykum hadyan qasida, fa innahu man yushadda hadha deen yaghlibuhu. Or kama qala alayhi salatu wasalam, and both of these hadith have been collected by Imam Ahmed and they're authentic, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, I advise you to hold on to the direct guidance, or that guidance which is easiest and most simple for you to handle, and you can practice and will practice it. Hold on to that, because indeed no one will overdo it except that it will overtake him. So here we see that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam and these authentic hadith is calling us to understand this fact of this deen, that it's easy. Walhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he used to send the people out to give da'wah, he used to say, as it comes in some of the authentic narrations, Yassiru wa la tu'assiru. Be easy and don't be difficult. At this point we have to understand that sometimes we think that the new shahadas are going to be on the same level of understanding and worship of Allah as the people have been in Islam for a time and have understood and have practiced and have gotten used to some of the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We shouldn't expect that someone accepts Islam, he's going to be on the same level as someone that's already been in Islam. And then you are a little hard on the person as you're saying, why are you not doing this? Why are you not doing that? Why are you not doing that? The same reason you're not doing the things you're not doing, because you're not on the level of the people who are above you. And the same way you should feel towards those people who are below you and their understanding of Islam or their worship of Islam, because Islam is the easy deen. Walhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. And it doesn't mean that the people who have more worship or more understanding or more knowledge of this deen, that they're on the straight path as opposed to the person's understanding and worship that is limited. The straight path, alhamdulillah, the Sirat al-Mustaqim, is wide enough to encompass the people on a higher level and the people on a lower level. And this issue of being guided and being on what is correct isn't referring to the level that a person might be on, but it's referring to a person's consistency in his worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. And we kind of expanded on that point in one of the talks called Quality and Not Quantity. And this is what the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, rather Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is mentioning in these points about the deen being easy, that it's about the quality. That even if a person takes one ayah or one hadith and then he practices it and he stays on it and he's consistent with his practice of that ayah or that hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then this is the objective of the deen. Walhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. The ulama of Islam, they go on to explain this hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, indeed the deen is easy and no one will overdo it except that it will overtake. Take him. They say that what is meant by this is that no one would go too deep in his practice of al-Islam and leave alone the issue of being compassionate or easygoing, except that eventually it will become too difficult for him, and then he will stop practicing what he used to practice and it will overtake him. Like the person, he's gung-ho, I want to do 5 juz of Quran a day. I'm going to make all of my sunnahs, and then I'm going to make some extra nafila of this amount of night salat for 3 hours every day, and I'm going to do this, and I want to do that, and I want to do this, and that, and that, and that, and this is what I'm going to stay on, inshallah ta'ala, until I meet Allah. And then he takes too much upon himself, and then eventually he becomes a little tired of it, as it becomes to be a hardship on him and a little difficult, and then eventually he says, really, I think I went too far, I can't handle it. And then it overtakes him, and as the ulama are hinting, that it seems to have, as the Prophet ﷺ is saying, to have a more adverse effect on the person, instead of starting off small and staying small, that he might start off big, and then when he falls so low that he falls lower than the person only doing a little bit. And you see that, and we used to witness it from some of the people who used to be like what you call the hardliners, and then eventually they get so soft until they're out of it. And you say, subhanAllah, what happened to the brother? He used to be the hardest brother, but he took upon himself that which was too much for him, so when he became unable to handle it, then it just crushed him altogether. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us, and Allah knows best. Ibn al-Munir, he says of this hadith that this is one of the signs of the prophethood of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as we have seen and many of the people before us have seen, that the people who overdo it in the religion, eventually they can't handle it and they leave off what they used to practice. And it's not meant from this hadith, or you shouldn't understand from this hadith, the encouragement to perfect your worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the affairs of this deen, as this is what is encouraged, that a person perfects his worship and complete his worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But it's a difference between taking something that you can handle and trying to perfect it, and then adding a little on and a little more and a little more, and trying to complete your deen, and then just being so gung-ho and trying to take everything at the one time and not being able to handle it. So the issue of trying to perfect your worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to make your religion complete, inshallah ta'ala, striving for that, this hadith is not negating that. Rather, that is still praiseworthy, that a person tries to perfect his worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what is meant is that he doesn't go out too far where he's taking upon himself what he can't handle, because eventually it will lead to the leaving off of it. Or, as ulama, they say that a person will do too many of the voluntary acts until it forces him to leave off those things that are best for him, or those things that are compulsory. As the ulama give the example that he might stay up all night making voluntary salah, and then because of the long night, that it overcomes him by the morning time, and then he's not able to get up to make the salah in jama'ah. So the ulama, they're explaining this hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, showing us that we shouldn't go too far, because the one who goes too far, it'll overtake him. And we need to understand this point, inshallah ta'ala, to make sure that we don't go too far with the people. But at the same time, we're understanding that striving to perfect our worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is praiseworthy and not blameworthy in this hadith and this deen, and not to misunderstand this hadith, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. The Messenger of Allah, he says, or to do what's correct, or to hold on to what's most correct, meaning don't be extravagant in your worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or don't be exaggerated in your worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and don't be deficient, and your worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but hold on to what is correct and be moderate in your worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by taking upon yourself what you can handle. And the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he says after that, waqaribu, meaning if you're not able to handle that which is required of you in this deen, in the sense of perfecting your worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then do as much as you could of that, or try to get as close as you can to perfecting your worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning try to do what's right and what's best, and if you feel that you can't handle that, then just try to be as close as you can to that. And the Messenger of Allah, to take it back to the first point, is not advising us to do something that would take us away from this deen. And sometimes we misunderstand the Surat al-Mustaqim, meaning only being on this level. You didn't memorize that? You don't know that verdict of that? You ain't doing this, you're not doing that? As if the person isn't on the Surat al-Mustaqim. The Surat al-Mustaqim is wide enough, alhamdulillah, for the people handling on all of that on that level, and for the people on the bottom who are trying, are just as much on the Sirat al-Mustaqim as the people who are on that level. The Sirat al-Mustaqim, alhamdulillah, is wide. And this isn't negating the fact that the people who are on a higher level of Iman and worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah, if they're sincere, their reward will be bigger. But the issue of the reward being bigger or smaller is different than the issue of being on the Sirat al-Mustaqim or off the Sirat al-Mustaqim. And sometimes we confuse the two in thinking that if your reward isn't big, then you're not on the Sirat al-Mustaqim. The Sirat al-Mustaqim is only for the people with the greatest understanding of Islam, or the greatest practice of Islam, or the most worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are the ones really on the Sirat al-Mustaqim, and everybody else is hoping to be on it. No, inshallah, if the people are trying to do what is correct from their deen, then they are on the Sirat al-Mustaqim. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling us, if you can't handle that, then just do your best. And this shows that the people doing their best are just as guided as the people who are doing better than that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to do better than that. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, and give glad tidings, meaning tell the people of the reward that they will get for doing the deeds that they do, so long as they are consistent in their worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is encouraging us that we will have our reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, although we're not doing as much as the people who came before us, for example, like Abu Bakr as-Siddiq and Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhuma and the rest of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But that you will get your reward according to the deeds that you do if you're consistent with those deeds. And this should be the same way or the same approach that we should have with the new shahadas or the people who don't have so much worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or understanding of this deen. We have to be easygoing and to let them know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward them for what they do. And to stop thinking that if the people aren't doing so much that there's no reward with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So long as the people are consistent on what they do and their worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will get their reward. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he emphasizes the same point in another hadith collected by Imam al-Bukhari on the authority of Aisha radiallahu anha, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam entered upon her and a lady was with her. And the Prophet ﷺ said, من هذه؟ قالت فلانة تذكر من صلاتها قال مه عليكم بما تطيقون فوالله لا يمل الله حتى تملوا وكان أحب الدين إليه ما دام عليه صاحبه. And this other hadith of Imam Bukhari, and Imam Muslim has another narration. Aisha radiallahu anha, she said that the Prophet ﷺ entered upon her and a lady was there. And the Prophet ﷺ said, who is this lady? So she said, this is lady so-and-so. And then Aisha radiallahu anha started to mention her worship of Allah. And in some of the other narrations, it explains she used to make salat all night, and she used to do this, and she used to do that, showing her magnificent worship of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So the Prophet ﷺ said, enough. And Aisha was going on and on. But she does this, and then she does that, and she reads all of this Quran, and she knows all of this, and all these verses, this and that. The Prophet ﷺ said, that's enough. Do what you have the ability to do. Because Allah I swear by Allah that Allah would not stop rewarding you until you leave وسلم used to say that that religion that is most beloved to Allah is that which the person is consistent on. Like, we're not, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala isn't necessarily impressed because a person can do so much. Because how often does somebody come out the blocks at full speed and then he's rigging at the finish line, hanging in until eventually he quits because he went out too fast and he couldn't make it? And the Messenger of Allah is trying to tell us, stop all of that thinking that you can handle so much and do so much and whatever. The issue is doing what you can handle. Can you handle that? Handle it and stay on top of it so Allah can reward you. Because if you take more than you can handle, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's going to give you a reward, but He's going to stop giving you your reward too when you leave it, and it's going to be worse off for you. Because to go out and do something and stop it is worse than to do a little and continue on it. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is displeased with someone to start off doing something and then stop. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more pleased with the person that takes a little and keeps on going. So he starts off as if he's getting a magnificent reward, and then he stops and then he blows it all together. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala isn't pleased with that doing a lot and then dropping off. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had already mentioned the hadith, the religion is easy. And if you start off doing all of that, eventually it's going to conquer you. Now we remember, like the ulama say, they saw people. I remember when we were studying overseas, we saw people too. In the book, studying day and night, trying to practice this, that, making everything compulsory on the people, get on this, get on that. And then eventually you say, man, where's the brother at? He out there. Out there? Subhanallah, Allah, the brother was like in Jannah almost. Nah, that's how you feel like somebody's on the deen so much, like he's in Jannah. And the next thing you know, he's out of it. And this was an example during the time of the Prophet Aliyah Salatu Wasalam, where the man was killing, when he was fighting jihad, and the people were like, Wallah, he's from Jannah. Prophet ﷺ said, from Jannah? I swear by Allah, he's in the hellfire. In the hellfire, Ya Rasulullah, you must have seen him fight in fi sabilillah. Hell, Ya Rasulullah. And then when the Prophet ﷺ saw him, he said, he's in the fire. And then the man was eventually wounded, and he couldn't take it until he killed himself, and whoever commits suicide is in the fire. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. So the issue is being consistent, as the narration of Imam Muslim goes also, Inna habbal a'mali ila Allahi atwamuha wa inqal, that the Prophet ﷺ says the most beloved deeds to Allah are those deeds that are done on a consistent basis, even if it's only a few. And this is the Islam that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with. And this is the Islam that I wanted to remind myself of and the people of this evening, that Islam is easy, and let's not forget Islam is easy. And let's not forget the important point of being consistent on something, even if it's only a little bit. And let's not forget the point that this religion, alhamdulillah, this Salatul Mustaqim is wider than a tightrope, and that people don't have to tightrope to be considered on the Salatul Mustaqim, but that the issue is that the little that you do of Islam, that you do on a consistent basis, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward you. The last part of the hadith of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, seek assistance in the early part of the day, and in midday, and in the little bit of the night. This statement of the Messenger of Allah says to Salam, as the ulama explained, they're saying that the Prophet ﷺ is saying, seek assistance and being consistent in your worship of Allah by establishing it when you're in good health and eager and what have you, or something like that. I hope I'm getting the point across, inshallah. When a person has the ability to grasp something and understand it and practice it, and to not be burdened by it, but to do something that he can handle and make a habit out of it while he's okay, inshallah, when he's doing a little bad, it's easy to keep up with a habit than when you don't have a habit. So it's like the Messenger of Allah is encouraging us to handle that much of Islam that we can make a habit, as we say and everyone says, habits are hard to break. So if you have good habits, then alhamdulillah, you'll be okay, because even in your times of weakness, you'll find it easy to hold on to what you have already made an habit out of, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Then the ulama, they make a statement, and I wanted to end with this statement, inshallah. I wanted to quote the exact wordings of Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar, but it looks like I lost my spot. At any rate, inshallah, the meaning, and I hope I'm close to it, inshallah, they say that the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, what he's doing here when he's encouraging the believers to seek assistance in those three times of the day, in the morning, and they say that's before Fajr, before the sun rises, and then the time after the sun starts to decline from its zenith, and then the portion of the night. And the Messenger of Allah was mentioning those times in specific because those are times when it's easy for a person to continue his traveling during those days, or any day, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. So the Messenger of Allah was using this example to become closer to the people so that they understand the most advantageous times to take advantage of doing something, to do it. So the Messenger of Allah was giving this as an example to show the people, when you have the advantage of taking, or you have the opportunity of taking advantage of understanding and believing and worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on a level that you can handle, make sure you take advantage of it and don't pass it up. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, and this is what we wanted to present today. And if there was any good, then it's from Allah, and if there was anything wrong, it's from me. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. I don't know if there were any questions or something around this point. Nah. Yes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Allah knows best. Everybody heard the brother? You want to repeat that?
I mean, like, now here in the winter, Fajr is kind of late, and Isha is kind of early, so you get more sleep. The person might want to start in the winter, getting up before Fajr and praying, hours before Fajr, praying for the reward. Then later on in the year, when Fajr gets early and Isha gets later, you get less sleep, and that might become difficult on the person. I want to know what it is will cause you to lose the reward if you get the same home.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. At any rate, what the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is encouraging us is, and we can use your example, in the winter time when the nights are long, alright, now you want to get a portion of your night salat established. So you might want to establish three raka'ah with one witr. And you recite maybe a page in each, or surah in each raka'ah, like that, in order to make it a habit, so that by the time the summertime comes and the night is short, you can still handle that. And then after you've been handling that for that year or two or whatever, then by the other winter, then you might add on a little more. Now you want to do two longer surahs in each rak'ah in the winter time. And then by the time the summer comes, you've been on the habit for so long that it's easy for you to continue that habit. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. I found a point that I wanted to quote. He says that the Prophet ﷺ is making, I think you call that word, a similitude between traveling and taking advantage of those times to make the best of it so that you get the best reward. said that the Prophet is really comparing that journey in this world with our real journey to the world of the hereafter. Just as you try to take your advantage when you're making a trip from one point A to point B, and you want to travel when the weather is nice, when the traffic is less, and what have you, to make your journey easier for you, the same way. From the time we're born, we're getting closer to our journey, finishing our journey of meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you want to take advantage of your times, the best times in your life, when you're most eager and what have you, in order to learn how to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to establish your worship of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala in order to benefit you when you finish your journey and meet Allah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us, and Allah tabarak wa ta'ala knows best. I don't know if there is anything else around this. I hope, inshallah, that we take this advice and that we pass this advice on, that the Salatul Mustaqim is not a tightrope, and there's room on it for those people on a high level of Iman and those people on a low level of Iman. The issue is being consistent in what you do in your worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and not how much you do determines if you're on the Salatul Mustaqim or not, but it's what you're doing and how consistent you are on what you're doing that will determine if you're on the Salatul Mustaqim or not. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us amongst the believers who tread the Salatul Mustaqim and die on that path, the path of Allah. Wa subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Na'am. And she's not, I didn't catch that.
And she's not watching the food for the Muslim system. That's a level of
What is the relationship between enjoining what is right and forbidding what is wrong, and understanding that everybody's going to be on different levels? The different levels is still taking into the consideration the statement of the Prophet ﷺ, saddidu wa qaribu. Do what is correct, or try to be as closest to that. And this doesn't mean that now the haram becomes halal, or the halal becomes haram, or right becomes wrong and wrong becomes right, or sunnah is bid'ah and bid'ah is sunnah, because you feel personally that you can't handle it. The religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is easy. And that which is compulsory upon the believers, everyone can handle it. And the issue of overdoing it or going too far is when you do the optional deeds or the voluntary deeds, not with the compulsory deeds. The compulsory deeds are easy enough for everybody to handle. The issue is when you're looking at your voluntary acts of worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, now you want to look at what you can handle, and to be consistent at it. But that which is compulsory, then there's no issue of discussion. Everybody has to do what is compulsory, and everybody has to stay away from that which isn't. And the issue of the level that somebody is on, that he can't use this understanding, and it's going to drift us into really the other topic that we had did before we did the khutbah, and we kind of put those khutbahs back to back. The understanding of these ayah and this hadith of the deen is easy. And then the other issue of la ikraha fi deen, that there's no compulsion in the religion. Meaning, you don't force someone who's not Muslim to be Muslim. You call him to the truth, and if he likes it, he believes, and if he doesn't, then he doesn't believe, and what comes from disbelief comes to him. But the issue is, when you believe, then you are forced to do what you have to do in this deen, as we all have been commanded to enjoin what is right and to forbid what is wrong. And a person, if you tell the lady, sister, put on the jilbab, but we're not going to let you in our school, and she says, I'm not on that level yet. We don't understand. meaning you don't have enough money to buy a jilbab? Or what does she mean she's not on that level yet? Is it too difficult for you to wear a jilbab? Is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala burden you when he commanded that for you? No, it's not a burden on you for that. So what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made compulsory on us, that people have to do it according to their ability to do it. And oftentimes we just make the excuse of not wanting to practice Islam, saying that I can't handle such and such. And what will handle you? Put on the jilbab and let's see if it like makes you fall down or trip or something like that. It makes you forget or something to say that, you know, a person can't handle it. Like the sister, they say if she wears a khimar, it'll like give her a stroke or make her fall out or faint or something like that, and she says that she can't handle it, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. I don't know if that's making the point clear. Allah. So it's different, that person who was not who didn't know what were the different verdicts of Islam, like the new Shahada. What in the world can they know of Islam? They just said Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Alright, they know Islam is the truth. What else do they know? Maybe they didn't read the Quran yet. Somebody called them to Islam, they accepted it. Alright, they don't know much. Alright, so what they're doing, inshallah, they're on the Salatul Mustaqim now. Well, he don't even know how to make Salat. Nah, he's on the Salatul Mustaqim. He took his Shahada. He knows this religion is the truth. Alright, now he has to learn the Salat and to learn the other verdicts of his deen. And so long as he's learning and growing, inshallah, he'll remain on the Salatul Mustaqim and get his reward. But the person who knows, then he just doesn't, then he's setting himself up for going off the Salatul Mustaqim. As Allah is saying, وَأَنَّ هَذَا صَلَاتِ مُسْتَقِيمًا فَاتَّبِعُوا وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا سُبُلًا فَتَفَرَّقَ بِكُمْ عَنْ سَبِيلِهِ. And this is my path, the Siratul Mustaqim. Follow it and don't follow any other path, as those paths will take you away from my path. Those paths, they say, are following your desires and bid'ah. And your desire is, I don't feel that I should be wearing all of the jilbab and stuff in the summertime. Why you don't feel it should be in the summertime? Well, it's hot. Yeah, it's hot if you got on a bathing suit. It's 90 degrees out and you got on a bathing suit. You're just as hot as the person got on what they are supposed to have on properly. And if the lady knew best, she would be in her house under the air conditioner or the fan or whatever. And we're taking it easy. As the women, their houses are better for them, as we know in this deen of Islam, from the different sects. So the issue is that person who's being down outright disobedient, then we fear for that person. As the issue of the Siratul Mustaqim being wide enough to encompass everybody trying to practice Islam and practicing Islam according to their level. Not that the Siratul Mustaqim is wide enough to encompass the people who won't practice Islam properly. Like the person says, man, it's hard to leave off the riba. It's hard to leave off the interest. What do you mean it's hard to leave off the interest? The verse come to you say, from right now, I don't practice riba anymore. Alright, the issue of paying off what you already did and stuff like that, that's another issue. You can't take back what was already done. But to enter into another riba contract after that, now how are we going to say you're on the Salatul Mustaqim and you're doing what you're supposed to do? So the issue is doing what you can handle of what is correct according to your level. But to just be down outright disobedient and to leave off that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded, when they can handle it, then we fear for these people, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Nah. And maybe really reference to that other talk on the explanation of the ayah, there's no compulsion in religion, will really make this point a lot more clearer than we had time to tonight for this. Nah. Will that be a big example of what?
Oh, is it like a
No, really, that example is another example. That example is somebody on a higher level. Like everybody who takes the Shahada, not on the same level either. Somebody who takes the Shahada, he knows this thing is this it. Somebody else, he knows. And I give the example before of my Islam. When I accepted Islam, I was like doubting still. I mean, Islam is right, but we still got to do some other stuff too. You know, like they be saying, get your share of the dunya, meaning keep getting all that money and chasing it and being extravagant, but be Muslim too. So sometimes people come in, Islam is the truth, but they still basically where they were. I mean, their level of Iman isn't strong. And then other people, you just come in Islam, like the example you gave, you just come in Islam fighting jihad, you can be the love. Ain't nobody just accepting Islam and then just say, oh, I got to give my life for this thing? That's it? All right, wait, how? Somebody said, give my life. Wait a minute, I didn't know this thing was like all that. We got to hold off a little bit. Like somebody may have accepted Islam at the time we're trying to build Masjid Ahl al-Sunnah. He accepts Islam and he says, give $1,000. $1,000? I don't know about no $1,000. I ain't gave no $1,000 to nobody. I might lend it or give them $20 or something. I ain't giving no $1,000 away. Somebody else just accept Islam and say, what? You mean if I empty my bank account for this project, I'm going to be rewarded? He just do it the next day. So even on the issue of the new Shahada, there's going to be levels of certainty to this truth. And that, what they call in Arabic, the yaqeen that somebody has of this truth is going to vary from person to person from the time of the Shahada on. Like the example of the brothers today. He took his Shahada. His wife took his Shahada. They got married. Other people, they take their Shahada. You tell them you got to get married. Don't go home like that. You and your girl get married. You and your girl, both of y'all accept Islam. Then the brother who called you to Islam say, all right, y'all can't go home no more. Y'all got to be married first. And then you just say, Islam is the truth, and the brother bugging a little bit. Come on, honey, let's go home. All right, somebody else say, what? I can't. What I gotta do? You gotta get married. Alright, how I do this? You gotta get a sadaq. A sadaq? Yes, yeah, a mahar. A mahar? A dowry. A gift for the sister. Okay, what do I give? Ask her what she wants. And stuff like that. And then he takes care of his business and does everything properly from the time he's in this game. Well, like I know a brother, I remember that we studied with him. From the time he took his shahada, the time I met him 3 years later,
he never lived a Monday or Thursday without fasting. And he used to wear a bald head. He thought that was part of it. They never let hair grow in his head. And he never ate on Monday and Thursday except after he broke his fast. All right, some people, they accept Islam, bam, he's in it. And other people accept Islam, and then he's coming a little slower. So this level of certainty and this level of being on levels starts from the Shahada on, that people are going to be on different levels. But the issue of being on a level and being disobedient to Allah and His Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, or being straight out deviant, taking away or understanding of Islam that you don't have. As we were talking to a brother today, he's quoting this ayah, kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat lin nas. You are the best ummah, nation raised up for humanity. The Jama'at Tabliki Jama'at, or the Jama'at Tabliki, or the Da'wah, or whatever they call it now, they say that that ayah means you are the best nation raised out for mankind, raised out 40 days in the path of Allah. Alright, how do ayah mean that? Alright, somebody tell them, Akhi, Islam has already been practiced 1200 to 1300 years before the Sheikh invented it with no permission to Tabliki Jama'at, or the Jama'at of Tabliki. That understanding of Islam cannot be tolerated. Repent to Allah, seek forgiveness, and do what is correct of His deen. Alright, after hearing the truth, they persistent and can keep going and do that which is not proper from the deen of al-Islam. Then, alright, now he's on another issue. The people are just straying from the path, on the one hand, or the people just being straight up disobedient. This is different from the innocent Muslims practicing Islam on the various levels, showing how wide the Sirat al-Mustaqim is. So there's a difference between being disobedient and deviant on the both sides, and being in the middle path of doing your best to worship Allah on that level that you're on, meaning not desiring to willfully commit a sin, but doing to the best of your ability, practicing Islam, not having excuses on why we shouldn't practice Islam. Now really, people got a lot of excuses why they don't want to do or practice Islam. And this is what we're reminding ourselves of today. Why do you say that which you don't do? You don't want to say Islam. Is Islam hard? No, Islam is easy. And when you call people to Islam, you tell them, no, it's easy. I don't know, pork and no drinking, no parties, no this, no that. Man, that thing seems rough. And you're trying to explain to them, no, it's easy. And then on the other hand, you yourself not practicing Islam, why you not practicing it is hard. And there was one text I wish I would have mentioned. For the Prophet ﷺ, as Aisha radiallahu anha says, ما خير رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بين الأمرين إلا اختار أيسرهما أو كما قالت رضي الله عنها. As the Messenger of Allah عليه الصلاة والسلام never had the option to choose between two affairs except that he chose that which was most easiest. ما لم يكن إثما, so long as it wasn't a sin. فإن كان إثما فكان بعد الناس منه أو كما قالت رضي الله عنها. And if it was a sin, then he was the farthest person from it. So some people say, well, it's easy for me to take riba, for example. Because if I take riba, I can get that house or that car I wanted to, and it's easier for me that way than the struggle trying to save up all of that money. And the Prophet ﷺ never had the option between two things except that he chose the easiest. So I'm taking the easiest. No, the easiest so long as it's not a sin, and so long as it's not haram. Because when it's wrong, now the issue of having a choice isn't there. Like you say, I'm on this level. You don't choose what level you're on, meaning you pick and choose from Islam what you want to say, I'm going to be on this level. The person's ability kind of determines what level he's going to be on. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Yes. Okay, this was a clarification of all. All right, this is a clarification on something I said. The person who understands the prohibition of riba, then he leaves it off. It's different than the one who, when the prohibition comes to him, then he does it again. And then I said the issue of paying something back off the bat is different. And I hope I didn't try to say that if somebody was in a riba, then he can continue if he has the way out of it. But sometimes, and I don't know, unfortunately, I always think of only loan sharks are the first thing that comes to my mind with the issue of riba before the other riba. Because most of the time in our communities, the issue of the loan shark is closer to us than the bank. And he going to come get his money. So all of this, I'm Muslim now, don't stop the bat from breaking your kneecap or the pistol from pistol whipping you or whatever. So that's not willfully wanting to commit a sin. And you're just taking what you had got trapped off into before you understood, as opposed to the one who has the ability to get out of something. So the one who has the ability to get out of something, then that's a different issue, like someone actually involved in the mortgage of the house or in the car or something. There's ways out of that. As opposed to, like the example of something in the past, a student loan or whatever, it's over when it's done. It's not like I can stop now. The whole everything was done. And now it's just the issue of paying off. And the person's going to determine is he going to let you slide for that extra or not. And not that you are willfully desiring to commit a sin, but that now you're being forced or compelled to do what you're being forced to. Allah knows best. You're just going to say after.
No, I was saying, today, remember we were talking about how the people come to Islam, like going to them, giving them doubt, and about how they drink them with them, how they drink. And they put it like that.
Go ahead.
About the same thing that you were saying today, I was saying the same thing. Like, on the side of the building where the people be put, where there's so-called security, right here, on the side. Right here, on the side, there's something right there. I'll give somebody some dollars. And the kids came too. It was five kids that was Muslim. It was the same five kids came to me. And he walked up the deal. I said, I can't tell. I said, don't say they get out of here. But I said, no, they came back again. And they came back again. Right? So, in the sense of giving people dollars, you can't do your heart with go to show that what you did and whatever not know. I be giving people dawah every day.
Alhamdulillah.
And then the people that come to the masjid there, he's here too. So you see your old friend, he said, how you doing? He said, oh, yeah. I'm like, yeah. Then he just said, well, I don't want to talk to him because he's Muslim, but you know what I'm saying? You ain't giving him no dawah. So he might be giving me what he got. You know what I'm saying? But I'm giving him dawah on the door. Since I've been Muslim, I've been doing
that. Alhamdulillah.
So I ain't going to stop doing that.
Inshallah.
I wasn't here for the whole lecture, but when I did come in, I heard you talking about making laws, paying laws, things like that. Okay, you say it's around for a month.
No, we were just mentioning examples. We weren't getting into all of that.
Okay, well, I want to mention this example, okay? Because it's
time for the Iqamah now. Let's try to say it up for another one, shall we? If you don't mind. I was really trying to cut it short. And before the Adhan, and I just wanted to clarify one point, and that point led to another point, another point. And I always can make the Salah afterwards. We can cover it, inshallah, after the Salah.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.